Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. It's been a couple weeks since we've been here. I just want to give us a brief review of where we're at in the book of Ephesians. We need to realize that the book of Ephesians is written to professing believers in the city of Ephesus. The Apostle Paul, as he begins this book, is talking about the salvation of the believer and the blessing that comes from being saved. And he progresses all the way up to the church and the unity that is found in the church. Both Jew and Gentile are all one in Christ, in the body of Christ. Now in chapter 4, we take note in verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." And dear ones, listen. We have been called to be Christ's body, the church. That is not just some easy task. That is a high calling to be the very body of Christ. Verses 2 and 3, we're giving our overarching attitudes that we are to have as a part of the body of Christ. How am I to act? What are my attitudes supposed to be like as a part of this body? We've talked about them, but they're lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance and love, giving diligence to the keeping of unity and peace. That's only found in the Spirit of God. Verses 4 through 6, we see oneness and unity emphasized. Now that's important because we're one body. Jesus Christ, He's one God, one body, and we are one in Him. And Paul goes through this list of one body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Oneness. There's unity here. And then what comes next is Paul gives us as believers an idea of what it takes to be this body. What's it look like? And he starts out by talking about the measure of the gift of Christ, the grace of God. And we've looked at that. And we looked how God's grace is sufficient not only for salvation, but also for our service. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." Look at verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we are to" what? "Walk in them." You know, we need God's grace. And God's grace, it comes from Him. He's the source. He is big and He is rich in grace. It's sufficient. And God has supplied us with His grace through gifts. You know, there's the picture in this passage of a conquering king who goes out and conquers, and he brings the spoil back and he gives gifts unto men. And that's the picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our conquering King. And as He puts together this body called the church, there are gifts that are ours in Christ. As a result of who He is, He gives us grace, and it's manifested in the form of gifts. Grace gifts. Abilities that are given to us by God, requiring God's work in our lives, but it's used to help the body, to enable the body to be strong and healthy. In this passage specifically, he mentions some gifted
men.
He mentions in this passage back in Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And we see that God is very specific in his giftings of the church. Now, the bottom line is that the church has what it needs to grow. And when I'm talking about growing as a church, we're going to see in this context, I'm not talking about growing in numbers. I am talking about growing in Christ-likeness. The church has everything it needs to grow. It's been given to us. We've got the unlimited grace of God. That's all we need. And so we have the grace of God. That grace empowers us in the equipping of the saints. And our goal is Christ-likeness. So in this text, in verses 7 through 11, we see the measure of the gift of Christ, his unlimited grace. This morning, we're going to look at verses 12 through 15, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, here's where we're going. Here's what we're going to talk about. Is we're going to talk about what's the goal. What's the target? Up at Sacandaga, this past time we were up there on our work trip. We go up there every year and we do a work trip, a missions trip, where we help the camp. I was talking to two ladies there, and they were given this assignment. They were given a box, and in the box was a whole bunch of screws and bolts and boards and glass and everything else, and they were given the assignment to put it together. Now, there was one key thing that was missing, the instructions. What did they have? They had the picture on the box. And so they went on that adventure of putting together this piece of furniture. All they had was the picture on the box. Now, I want you to think about this. If you were them and you didn't even have a picture on the box, what would you have? Well, you sure wouldn't have had a TV stand. Who knows what would have been? It would have been up to their creativity. But thank God in the church, we're given a goal. We know what we are to be like, who we are to become. It's laid out for us. It's clear in the scriptures. We are to be of the measure, of the stature, of the fullness of Christ. Not your pastor, not your dad, your mom, or some evangelist on TV. No, it's Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the picture on the box. And God tells us in this passage, that's the goal. That's who you are to become. Let's look at it. We'll pick it up in verse 11, just for context's sake. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. If you hear nothing else today, I want you to hear this truth. The goal is Christ-likeness. If we want to boil it all down, that's the goal. To be like Christ. Now, the admonition in this passage is, yes, for individual believers to grow in Christ's likeness, but it is as a whole, a church is to grow is as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we are. Now, the body of Christ, the church, is made up of you and you and me, individual people. And the call, as we know, is that we walk worthy of the vocation to which we've been called. You've been called to be a part of God's body, the church. That's you, believer. That's you. And then as a whole, we are to become and look like Jesus. You know, a prayer that I pray for this church is that people will not see us, but that they will see God. You know, we can go and we could do all kinds of great things, but if people just see good people, we have failed. They need to see God. Now, yes, it's going to take us being good people, but it's going to be more than that. It's going to take us being people that are relying on Jesus Christ, people that are living totally for Him. May our church be a church that when people see this church, when they talk about this church, they don't talk about great preacher or great music or great attendance or how friendly it is. They talk about God and Jesus Christ. He's there. Because you are the body of Christ. That's who you've been called to be, church. Us, all of us together. You know, God has placed me in this position as a pastor, and that's mentioned in this text. Pastor, teacher. You know, my role is to help us grow in this. Man, what a responsibility. I ask and beg of you to pray for your preacher, for your pastor. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that's our ultimate goal. We're shooting for Christ's likeness. So what do we need to get there? How do we get there? Well, we've already understood the, in order for us to even think about it, we need God's grace. We've already seen that. It's already given to us. It's unlimited grace. We need His grace. We see in this text also in verse 11 that we need gifted men. We need gifted men. And now, it is not Paul's intention nor my intention to exalt men today. The intention of this passage is to explain how the church is made up of people. And there are gifted people in the church that are called to fulfill certain roles and responsibilities. This is not an exhaustive list, but it is a list that Paul chose in this text. And we need gifted men. Men, you are called to lead. You are called to lead, and you are to be a leader in this living organism called the church. Rise up and lead. Do it, because the church needs men. We need to understand our need to be equipped. Look at verse 12. You see, God gave all of these gifted men, why? For the perfecting or for the equipping of the saints. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know what? That means that we need to be equipped, doesn't it? I mean, just like a child needs to be taught and given the tools to be able to grow and develop and to become a mature man or woman, so therefore you and I, we've got to be taught, we've got to be equipped. And so therefore, that's why we preach. That's why we teach. That's why we get together and spend this kind of time together. Because we need to be equipped.
And God calls us as a church to do that, to equip the saints. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, then you are one of those saints. And the church, the role that the church is to play is that of equipping, of perfecting the church.
So you need to be equipped. You need to realize you need to grow and you need to learn and you need to develop. You need to submit yourself to leadership and you need to submit yourself to the Word of God and to its teaching. You need to allow yourself to sit under its teaching and come to be a part of a fellowship and be a part of the church so that you can receive that truth. It's not going to happen at home.
It's not. God has designed the church to gather together. And it's not going to happen for you at home sitting by yourself.
We need to understand our need to be equipped. We also need to understand our calling to serve. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You see, the body of Christ is just not about sitting in an air-conditioned building being comfortable for the rest of your life. And we don't have air conditioning here, so we could scratch that idea. But I'm talking about just life in general. I'm talking about, it's not about being comfortable. It's not about watching everything happen. It's about you working. And it's about you serving. Do you understand the importance, the need for you to serve? It says there, God's given gifted men to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. What? Got to work. It's service. You are serving the Lord and serving one another. Isn't that what God's called us to do anyway? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. That's the first commandment. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that. Service. You know, it's interesting how God put the whole church together. And he put it together in such a way that we need one another. And we need to serve one another. We've got to work together. And you can look at this in several different facets. You can look at this in the way of evangelism. You need to serve God in the sphere of influence where He has you. Whether at your workplace or where you play or where you study, whatever it might be, you serve God there because I'm not there. And neither is your friend or person sitting next to you. You are there. You serve God there. You could look at the church here as we when we gather together on Sundays and Wednesdays. There are many different things that take place. And we can serve together to make those things happen. We need one another. We've got to understand that we need to be equipped. So we've got to submit ourselves to the teaching and authority that God places in the church. But we also understand that we need to serve. Well, what else is there? We need to understand that our goal is a strong and healthy body, the healthy body of Christ. Look at this, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying is a word I like to use, I like to define it by building up. So, the building up of the body of Christ.
Notice again what the goal is. The body of Christ. And the building up of it. Giving it what it needs. Giving the church what it needs that it might be strong. Are you a part of that process? Or, this may seem harsh, but are you a detriment to that process? Are you part of the building up of that, of the church? Of putting the stones in place that will allow the church to be strong and healthy, looking like Christ? The warning is, don't be one who's kicking out the stones. Be one who's putting them in place. Be one who's putting things together and not destroying. Remember the overarching attitudes that we talked about in the beginning of the chapter. Lowliness and meekness and forbearance and love. Those all play a part. So we need those things to get there. That's the goal is Christ, Christ-likeness. But now I want you to take note here. Look at this in verse 13. We are to be doing this till we all come in the unity of the faith. Well, here's the question then. Are you joining your brothers and sisters in Christ and living a life of faith based on the promises of God? It says there, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Are you living by faith? Are you taking steps to please God, even though you might not always know what's around the corner? Are you trusting God? You see, we are to be unified in faith. Well, what else? So we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Church, I trust this is not true of you, but I dare say there are probably some here that Sundays are the only day that you open your Bible. Sundays are the only day that you pray or seek to fellowship with other believers. Sundays are the days when you sing praises to God. What about the rest of the week? You see, church, as I've been growing in my faith, as you are, I've been understanding something. I've been understanding that this relationship with God, Christianity, is not a one-day thing. It's 7 days a week. It's 365 days a year. And the call here, if we're going to reach this goal of Christ-likeness and be an accurate depiction of Jesus Christ, we need to be unified in our faith, but we need to have the knowledge of the Son of God. Are you in a current and daily relationship with God where you are seeing Him at work? I want to call it this: God awareness. This word knowledge is in the Greek is an experiential kind of knowledge. It's based on the experience. You have experienced it. You've seen it happen. Are you watching for God? Watching Him work? I'm never going to stop saying this. Be in the Word of God. Spend time in it. Because as you spend time in your word, in God's word, you will begin to understand how God works, what He looks like, what kind of things that He does, and you will begin to see Him. You'll need to see Him in that person, in that neighbor, in your life, in those provisions that come. You will begin to see God. And we as a church, united in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. If we're going to be like Him, we need to know Him. We need to know what He's like. And church, in order to know Him, you got to spend time with Him. You got to spend time with Him. It's got to be a priority in your life. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God.
unto a perfect man. You know, oftentimes when we see that word perfect, we kind of shrug it off and we say, I can't be perfect. Well, the Bible talks enough about this idea of being perfect for us to, we need to pay attention to it. Now, this word means complete and full, entire. So, yet on the flip side, and I know you know this, but we, on this side of heaven, we will not be sinless. But I believe, from the teachings of the Word of God, that we have been called to a lifetime of seeking perfection. Let that settle in your heart. Of seeking it. Of seeking to live a life whole and entire before the Lord. And I will tell you, one day we will be like Him. That's when we see Him. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So one day we will be like Him. And I want to give you a challenge. Start now so that when that day arrives, there's not going to be too much of transition that has to take place. You know? Start now living and striving to be like Christ. Remember, this whole thing's way bigger than you are. This world's watching to see Jesus, to see God. And you and I are the hands and feet and mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ right now, because He's not on this earth. He's in us through the Spirit of God, and He's working in and through us to reach this world. Are you doing your part to see to it that this body is an accurate and clear depiction of Christ? Are you doing your part? Are you doing your part? I want to challenge you to consider, what is your part? What is it? What is it that you have to offer the Lord Jesus Christ, to benefit His church, so that this church might grow to be more like Christ? End of verse 13. I'll read the whole verse. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's the picture on the box. There's the goal. Jesus Christ. You see that word measure there? And that word measure means a determined amount or the established standard for all measuring. Okay? So we're going to break that phrase down for you. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Stature is standing or maturity in mind and body. You know how it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ when He was growing as a young boy. He grew in stature, it says. He grew in maturity in mind and body and standing. Fullness is a word. It means completeness. So the goal is, the measure is the stature of the fullness of Christ. The stature, the standing that we are to have, is the fullness of Christ. And the fullness of Christ, that's the goal. The perfect body of Christ. You know, I know we weren't on earth. We didn't see the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't watch Him live. We didn't hear Him talk. But God knows all of that. And I dare say that most, if not all, of the people that Paul wrote to in this book of Ephesians were in the same boat. Very few of them probably had seen Jesus. But Paul and God, God is giving Paul, through the inspiration of the Spirit, this goal. Call the church to be like Me,
to the fullness of Christ. That's a pretty high calling, isn't it, church? But you know what? I wouldn't want it any other way. We're God's people. And we've been called to a high calling, a high goal, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verses 14 and 15 to close. Why is this important? Why? Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. Stop being immature. Stop being content in your immaturity. That's the challenge this morning to me and to you. Don't be content in the way you've been living life and things have been going okay, so I'm just going to keep going that way. No. Rise up and grow. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but that we henceforth no more be children tossed to and fro. Why? This is a picture of waves, okay? On a boat. And I don't know if you've ever been on a boat that's been tossed in waves. I've been sleeping on a boat once in a bay, Chesapeake Bay. It was night. We were anchored down in the middle of the night. A boat came speeding by and hit our anchor rope. And I can remember water sloshing up into the little cabin where I was in, and it just jarred us. And you're out of control for a while until the waves settle down. Listen, that's how children are. Children, they're just in the hands of whoever's teaching them. Do you realize that? They are subject to the environments apart from the grace of God. Okay? God's gracious. But the environment with these children are in, that's all they know. They need the church to teach them, to guide them. They need you parents, grandparents, to play a role in their lives. Don't be children, immature, tossed to and fro, Paul says. Carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, there's all kinds of teachings out there. All kinds. And I've been challenged in my witnessing to just point people back to the scriptures. Been recently talking with a gentleman, and he's searching. He's longing to know more. He's got questions. He's on the way to knowing Christ. And what I've been drawn to point him to Jesus Christ and the scriptures. And I'm saying, I can tell you all of this stuff, but I want you to know what the Bible says. And he's been reading the Bible. And the Word of God must be our source. And there's all kinds of teachings out there. Even it's stated that it comes from the Word of God. You see, children are going to go along with that kind of stuff. We as a church, we must be mature in Christ. You see, the church has been given gifted men to be able to help us, to be able to stand strong in the winds and the storms of doctrine that are out there. By the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive, we know there's all kinds of deceptions out there. The devil doesn't want us to grow in Christ's likeness. He wants us to go to battle against one another. He wants us to be content where we are right now. He doesn't want us to grow. So he puts deception and lies. But this is where verse 15 comes into play. But speaking the truth in love. That's the context of that verse. And we hear that verse a lot. Speak the truth in love. You realize the context here is that of accurate teaching of Jesus Christ. Accurate doctrine. And that accurate doctrine is to be declared and taught in love. In love. That's a huge call. As I consider, I've been called to teach and to preach, but I need to do it in love. I need to do it in love. If I'm not loving you, you won't hear or accept the truth.
Because it is the love that gives merit to the truth of God's word. You think about God's word. It's been communicated. God's word is communicated. His love was shown to us. And it's because we know God's love that we embrace the truth of who he is. And speaking the truth in love, they are married together. And it's so, so very important. Not only are your words to be loving, but your person. So, verse 15 sums it up for us, where it says, "Speak the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." We are to grow up. Grow up. Grow up, church. Grow up, believer. Be strong and healthy in Christ, that this body may be strong and healthy in Christ. Are you growing? I can think back to periods in my own life, periods of stagnant growth. Or that doesn't even make sense. No growth at all, put it that way. You know, just times where I was just coasting through, doing what I needed to do and nothing more, nothing less. Nobody would have pointed the finger at me and said you were in sin. Nobody would have said, get up and get moving. I was sitting pretty. But in my heart, I wasn't growing. You know if you're growing in your relationship with God. You do. I can't point my finger at you and say, get growing. You're not growing. I can't say that. That'd be wrong of me. But I can tell you the word of God says grow up. And so by that very, very command, that makes the assumption that we are to be growing. Are you growing? Listen, what's the goal? What's the picture on the box? Jesus Christ. You and I got a long way to go. A long way to go. Are you growing in Christ now? Are you taking the steps to do so? Realizing you need to be equipped, serving him, placing yourself under the authority and teaching of God's word? You need to grow. Is your understanding of God more this year than last? Is God, in your view, greater and bigger now because you've learned so much more about him this year than you did last? Are you giving more of yourself than you were last year? You serving him? The goal is clear. We're to be mature in Christ, looking like him. Lord, I appreciate so much your word and how clear it is, and I thank you for giving us this goal to shoot for. And God, I'm going to pray and ask you that you would light a fire under us, Lord, that we might grow. God, those days when I'm just content in my status and where I'm at and where I just don't want to read your word or I don't want to pray, God, remind me of the goal, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for this time, and take this and use it as you see fit, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.